have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
We just gotta do what we do. We play like we play. We be us. We be special. We smell greatness. We finish strong. Yes, from the top.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
Welcome to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM and streaming live on WGSO.com. No subjects are off limits, so call in with your questions and comments to 504-556-9696. And now the host of the Something to Say radio show, BJ Rust.
Welcome to another edition of the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM, streaming live on WGSO.com. Of course, we're on the Mixler app, so if you haven't downloaded that, make sure you do so. It's available on both Android and Apple. It's free, and there are no ads, so that is the place to be to listen to all your favorite WGSO programming. Well, 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 unfortunately, our Pelicans have been ousted from the playoffs. And I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of glad. I had hope at the beginning of the series. I thought that they had a really good shot of beating the Thunder, but that just absolutely was not the case, and I was wrong. Don't say that very often, but oh boy was I. And really, it's their own fault. they really just did not show up to play, and it was last Saturday night when they played game three and got beat by 21. I had to laugh. I'm sure everybody has seen the video at this point of Charles Barkley talking about the Pelicans after they lost, and said that because they always make the joke that the team that loses is going on vacation, going to the beach, going to Cancun, wherever. He said that the Pelicans didn't deserve to even go to Cancun. They needed to go to Galveston with the dirty water. And, boy, I don't think he was far off. I mean, they just, you know, watching game three, I mean, we'll get to game four in a minute, but game three and even game two, I mean, they just got the doors blown off. And I'm not going to give all the stats of those games, but the biggest thing that sticks out is that Brandon Ingram just wasn't there. And you can say that Lou Dort played good defense, and of course he did. I'm not going to take anything away from him, but man, you know, you look at I don't think that Brandon Ingram had more than 15-16 points in a game all season or all series long, and it just didn't seem like he wanted to be there. You know, whether or not he came back too early from being injured, I don't know. But there was so much standing around in this series, and there was no ball movement, not very good defense. And it just seemed like, without Zion, there wasn't much of an identity. And I know a lot's been made about him being hurt over the years, but you got to give him credit. I mean, he played, 72 games this year? And it was an unfortunate incident that happened with him hurting his hamstring. I don't think this is the same old Zion that we've seen previously before this season. But man, you know, I don't know. So I just believe some changes need to be made. There's so many problems watching this series. You know, the way that the team was playing defense, playing zone defenses, and not really understanding where they needed to be on the floor. Turnovers, just, I don't even know how many. But, well, I can tell you that in game four they had 18. It's way too many. Way too many when you're playing a team like the Thunder. You're going to have to take care of the ball. and you're going to have to be able to shoot a lot better and be able to play at home. You know, that's something that's huge. They had one of the worst records. I think they had the worst home record in basketball this year. Now, granted, they had the best road record, which is fantastic. But if you can shore that up on at home, you know, that would be wonderful. And I don't know. I don't know if you point fingers at Willie Green, but this series was exactly how the season went. You know, there was ebbs and flows and ups and downs and very much a roller coaster ride all season long. The series was no different. Game one, there was a lot of hope. They lost by two, played a great game, came back the next game, and then got blown out by 28. They never scored more than 92 points in the whole series. Not going to win very many games in the NBA these days without being able to score more than 92. It was bad basketball. Bad basketball all the way around, and you don't really know how to use your centers. You know, Larry Nance, I think, is a great player off the bench. I don't believe he's the guy to take up the majority of the minutes just because he's mobile. You know, you're going to have to plan your work and work your plan, as somebody once told me, and it doesn't seem like they were doing that. CJ McCollum really didn't have that great of a series either. I mean, Valanciunas is really he's the only one that did have a good series, and there just needed to be more of it. Herb Jones, I thought, played pretty well, but when you have a defender like him, why are you playing in a zone? He should have been matched up with SGA the whole time. They should have been playing a man-to-man defense. The zone, and especially, you know, watching them, there was times watching them, they didn't understand their assignments. They're letting people get behind them in the zone, and it just doesn't work. And the disappearance of Brandon Ingram, hopefully somebody can find him. You know, I know he's up for an extension this summer. I don't know. I don't know if I would give it, you know. I've thought this for a while, and over the season, you know, we didn't see a lot of Brandon Ingram, CJ McCollum, and Zion all being on the floor at the same time. And when they were, it seems like there's not a direct idea. You know, that's the thing that makes these teams successful, is that everybody knows their role and they do their roles. You know, they play their roles very well. Everybody does their job. It seems like there's times when these guys just don't know their identity. You know, their identity is supposed to be to play good defense and, you know, lead to easy buckets. You know, they're not necessarily a big time 3-point shooting team, which is fine. I'm okay with that. I'd almost prefer that. But when, you know, I'm looking at the stat line from game four, you've got Ingram 2-for-14, Jones 4-for-11, Valanciunas 6-for-15, CJ 9-for-16, and Trey Murphy 3-for-10. Not going to win very many games like that. And then you look at the 3-point shooting, and Ingram 0-for-3, Jones 1-for-3, Valanciunas 0-for-1, that's irrelevant. CJ 2-for-7, and Trey Murphy 1-for-7. Not going to win very many games like that. Not in today's NBA with how everybody's running for the three-point line. It just doesn't work. I think there's a lot of things that need to be changed in the offseason. And I don't know if it's front office. I don't know if it's coaching. But something's got to give. I mean, this is a very good, talented, you know, don't want to take anything away from them. They still won 49 games in the regular season. However, that team could be so much better. You know, even if you're playing .600 ball at home, that makes a hell of a difference in where you are in the postseason. You don't have to have this play-in game. You know, a lot of this could have been avoided with beating the Lakers on the last game of the season, but it, you know, like we talked about, you know, the grand prize for doing that would have been just to go face the Denver Nuggets, and I don't think that wouldn't have ended any better than how this ended. Probably would have been a lot worse. I don't even think those games would have been competitive with just how disciplined the Denver Nuggets are. You know, there's a lot of talent on this team, and I don't know. You know, it's going to be an interesting offseason for sure. I think Willie Green is a good coach. I don't know if there's a disconnect with the players of not knowing what to do, but it just seems like they had no idea what, you know, how to approach this team. And so much standing around. And you're just not going to win games whenever there's that much standing around. You got to move with a team like this, you got to move the ball. You got to get open shots. You got to get good shots. If you're not going to shoot threes, you're going to have to work to get good shots on the inside. Typically, Brandon Ingram's been the bailout for that. He's such a good mid-range player. But now, you know, there's been somebody to figure out how to defend him. I don't know. You know, if, you know, like in the NFL, when one team gets figured out, the rest of the league knows. I hope that's not the case with Brandon Ingram. I really like him, and he's played very well for the Pels, and I think he's been great for them. But when it comes playoff time, if this is the output that you're going to give, you can't have that. Not for the price tag that he's going to come along with. So I don't know. Like I said, going to be a very interesting offseason. David Griffin, he's been the architect of this team, and you know, I would like to see a more athletic center. At least, if not somebody to replace Valanciunas, because he is going to be a free agent, then somebody that can come off the bench and give you good quality minutes and be that athletic center, because that's the way the NBA is going. If you look at Wembanyama, you had Chet Holmgren, they're going to pull you out for away from the basket, you know, and if you don't have somebody mobile enough to take care of it, you're going to be in a world of hurt. And hats off to the Thunder too. They're one of the youngest teams ever to be a number one seed, and they've done a great job with their trades and with their player development. I would just like to see some of that on our end too. You have somebody like Jordan Hawkins who can shoot the lights out, and you're trailing in some of these games by 15, 20 points. Why not? He can't do any worse than what was going on. Why isn't he on the floor? Somebody that can shoot, you know, they got to figure out a way to free these guys up. You know, it seems like there's an awful lot of just run down, shoot, run down, shoot, run down, shoot. It's not the case, especially when you get to the playoffs. It's a lot more disciplined basketball. It's a lot more half court offense or half court basketball. You got to be able to adapt. And unfortunately, the Pels just weren't able to do that. I'm a Pelicans fan, and I hope that next year is different, and hopefully we get a healthy Zion all season long, and I think we will. You know, I think he's really turned a corner, and he was an absolute beast against the Kings in that play-in game. We have 40 points, 11 rebounds. So I think better, you know, better days are ahead. However, there's definitely some things that need to be figured out. You know, I think Herb Jones is indispensable. He's such a good defender. Trey Murphy's I think somebody that doesn't need to go anywhere. CJ and Brandon, I don't know. You know, you got to take a long, hard look. I love CJ's leadership, but, you know, you got to produce in the playoffs. And if this team's going to go to the places that I believe that it can go, these guys are going to have to step up, and they just didn't do it. You know, you have gritty players like Najee Marshall. I like him off the bench. I like Jose Alvarado off the bench. But you got to have more. You know, you just got to have more, and you got to have guys that know what's going on when they're on the court. And it just didn't seem like we saw that for the last few weeks. So we need to take a break. Let's do that. And we'll come back with more of the Something to Say radio show right after this. Come alive, whatsoever I fall on.
Perfect personalized gift for your friends and loved ones? Then look no further than Crow and Crescent. Crow and Crescent provides customizable handmade gifts, tumbler cups, and much more. All items are handmade with care and can be gift-wrapped with personalized messages. For more information, you can find us at crowandcrescent.com and on Instagram. Crow and Crescent, let us show you the right gift for any occasion.
I'm Jeff Cruer, the new president and general manager of WGSO Radio. I'm pleased to announce that our station has a new board and a new commitment to serving the people of the New Orleans area. We've been on the air 78 years. We are the true voice of the community. Our station is dedicated to free speech and fighting censorship. We have local hosts, local ownership, and a local focus. Our competitors are conglomerates. One is even owned by George Soros. But we want to help our community. That's why we offer programming on a wide variety of topics, and will continue to do so. I want to personally thank Chris Berry for his leadership of the station for the last 17 years. We're going to build on that foundation and make WGSO an even better station, an even better community voice for the Crescent City. If you want to get involved, we'd love to have your help. Contact me at jeff@wgso.com.
Big Easy Pet Shop and Rescue is a nonprofit volunteer-run rescue. We provide adoption services and care for homeless animals across the New Orleans metro area. We also offer pet supplies and grooming services at our downtown and Marigny locations. The shops are located at 839 Spain Street and 513 Dumain Street and are open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays and noon to 6 on Saturdays, noon to 5 on Sundays. We can be found on the web at BigEasyPetShop.com. Support local animals in need by shopping and adopting with Big Easy Animal Rescue.
All right, we're back with more of the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM. I wanted to talk a couple minutes because we only got a couple minutes before we go to break. But I went to Jazz Fest yesterday, saw the Foo Fighters, and what an incredible show it was. 2 hours of nonstop rocking. Now, usually they play about 3 hours, but they played two, and it's amazing how many songs they could get in for in 2 hours. But a good crowd, and seems like I got there right at the right time too. Waited till after the rain, and I think we got there about 2:45 maybe, and it was perfect. You know, it wasn't hot. Lots of people, which is good. You know, tons of good food, good drinks, and I think everybody was having a good time. Got to see Galactic that was playing before, and they were good also. Didn't really get to bounce around too much because the whole mission was to see the Foo Fighters, and mission accomplished. Wish I would have followed my instinct and headed down to the quarter last night, though, because Dave Grohl and company ended up showing up at Preservation Hall, and just from the pictures that I saw, it looks like he was playing a tambourine. So, but it'd have been cool to have been there for that. However, great show, and been so long since I'd seen him. Yeah, well, I say so long. I think it was in 2018 was the last time that I'd seen him. Actually, right prior to starting this show, was the last time that I saw them. But yeah, you know, just as a friend of mine once said, whenever we went to see them, it's a roller coaster of emotions when you go see the Foo Fighters. You laugh, you cry, you rock out, and a good time is had by all. And it was fun. It was fun. I had Rudy, who used to do the show with me, my best friend from St. Louis growing up. Been friends with for 40 years. He flew in, and we went to the show together. I know we had talked about it on this show about how we were bound and determined to get to see the Foo Fighters, and it took us 4 years with pandemic and unfortunately Taylor Hawkins passing away. However, we got it. Mission accomplished. And we had a good time while he was in town, too. So That's what's important. Had some good food. Actually tried a few things that I haven't had before. So good time, though. So you still got another day left of Jazz Fest and closing it out. I think the tribute to Jimmy Buffett is tomorrow, and of course Trombone Shorty. So still more festing to have. Head on out there and have a good time. So, all right, we need to take a break, get some news. We'll do that, and we'll be back with more of the Something to Say radio show right after this.
There goes my hero. He's ordinary. Don't the best of them read it out, while the rest of them peter out. Truth or consequence.
Are you looking for the perfect personalized gift for your friends and loved ones? Then look no further than Crow and Crescent. Crow and Crescent provides customizable handmade gifts, tumbler cups, and much more. All items are handmade with care and can be gift-wrapped with personalized messages. For more information, you can find us at crowandcrescent.com and on Instagram. Crow and Crescent, let us show you the right gift for any occasion.
I'm Jeff Cruer, the new president and general manager of WGSO Radio. I'm pleased to announce that our station has a new board and a new commitment to serving the people of the New Orleans area. We've been on the air 78 years. We are the true voice of the community. Our station is dedicated to free speech and fighting censorship. We have local hosts, local ownership, and a local focus. Our competitors are conglomerates. One is even owned by George Soros. But we want to help our community. That's why we offer programming on a wide variety of topics and will continue to do so. I want to personally thank Chris Berry for his leadership of the station for the last 17 years. We're going to build on that foundation and make WGSO an even better station, an even better community voice for the Crescent City. If you want to get involved, we'd love to have your help. Contact me at jeff@wgso.com.
Big Easy Pet Shop and Rescue is a nonprofit volunteer-run rescue. We provide adoption services and care for homeless animals across the New Orleans metro area. We also offer pet supplies and grooming services at our downtown and Marigny locations. The shops are located at 839 Spain Street and 513 Dumaine Street and are open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays and noon to 6 on Saturdays, noon to 5 on Sundays. We can be found on the web at BigEasyPetShop.com. Support local animals in need by shopping and adopting with Big Easy Animal Rescue.
All right, we're back with more of the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM. Hey, we talked a little bit last week about the Saints' first-round draft pick, but, man, let's talk about the draft that they have last weekend. And I don't care what the – you know, and I know that they got high marks from just about everybody, but – I'll tell you what, I'm excited about almost all of our picks. I think this is one of the better drafts that the Saints have had in quite some time. ESPN graded them a B. I don't know about that. I think that they did a pretty darn good job, if you ask me. Starting with their number one pick, offensive tackle from Oregon State, Talise Fuaga. The guy just, he never gave up a sack his whole career. from everything that I've seen and read about him, he plays
pretty angry, and he plays through the whistle, and you know, certainly it was a need after losing James Hurst to retirement and really a huge question mark on Ryan Ramczyk, whether or not he's going to be able to play again. I think this was a great pickup. I don't know if you move him from right tackle to left tackle right now, but either way, it was a hell of a start. And then you go into the second round, and you trade up and get Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama. And when I saw that, I'm like, okay, you know, we addressed some needs right there off the bat. And I think that was a great pickup too, you know, with the depth. And I know there's been a lot of rumors about whether or not the Saints were planning on trading Marshon Lattimore. I hope they don't. However, you're in a position where there's some needs. You know, that offensive line needs to be addressed. I know they have offensive linemen this week, and I'll have to get those names. I don't remember them off the top of my head, but they, you know, these are not starting caliber offensive linemen. But you know, that's okay. You need depth anyways, because there's so many injuries, especially on the offensive line every year. And it seems like the teams that can stay healthy are the ones that succeed. And, but back to Kool-Aid McKinstry, you know, he was selected as a first team All-American by the Associated Press and Sporting News. And, also was selected as a semifinals for the Jim Thorpe Award, which is presented each year to the nation's top defensive back. This last season, he broke up 7 passes, had 32 tackles, including 2 for a loss, and also plays special teams, returned 14 punts for 86 yards with a long span 33. I'm excited about him, too. You know, you pair him with Paulson Adebo and Marshon Lattimore. You're really starting to have some depth in that secondary. Let's see. We didn't have any third or fourth round picks. However, one of the most surprising picks, and we're going to talk about why it's surprising also, the Saints were able to, in the fifth round at the 150th pick, be able to get Spencer Rattler from South Carolina. He's a little undersized at 6 foot, but if you remember, he started his career at Oklahoma and then entered the transfer portal and went to South Carolina. You know, this might have been the steal of the draft. And what's surprising is that, you know, we talked about last week that out of the first 12 picks, 6 quarterbacks went in those first 12 picks, first time in history. The 7th quarterback to go was Spencer Rattler. And that didn't happen until the 5th round. You know, and I was reading some things of, you know, some of the ideology behind why he dropped as far as he did. And it goes, a lot of it from what I was reading was going back to the reality show from when he was in high school, and that he wasn't really presented in a very good light and kind of came off as a brat. But that's not the same person. I mean, I think anybody can, I can tell you that me personally, how much change I had from when I was in high school to when I was in college, and how much growing up you do in just those few years. It's very formative years, really. So if that's the knock on him, that's ridiculous. You know, he was selected twice at South Carolina by his teammates as a captain, and you know, he certainly had a good career there. He played 48 total games, posting a 28-14 record. Started 42 times, completed 68.5% of his passes, had 10,000 yards passing with 77 touchdowns, 32 interceptions. He's a mobile quarterback who I think is going to fit in real well with what Clint Kubiak's going to try to do with this offense. But I'm ecstatic to be able to get a quarterback of his caliber that far into the draft. And, you know, you have Jake Haener, who they drafted last year. So him and Spencer Rattler should be competing for the backup position. I know they have Nathan Peterman also, but I don't foresee that to be that big of a deal if one of these two gentlemen are able to be the backup. And I think it works out perfectly also with Spencer Rattler, because if you're going to keep Derek Carr for a couple of years, that gives Spencer Rattler enough time to learn the system, learn what it takes to be in the NFL. And by the time that Carr's contract's up, you may have your new franchise quarterback. And I want, you know, obviously that comes with a big grain of salt, because who knows? You know, I'll be the first to admit, with any of these quarterbacks in the NFL, really any of the players, but specifically quarterbacks, it is such a crapshoot on what you're going to actually get with it. However, I'm excited. You know, certainly the best quarterback that I think the Saints have drafted in quite some time. Also in the fifth round with a 170 pick, the Saints picked Bub Means, wide receiver from Pitt. And he played all 12 games for the Panthers in 2023, starting 10 at wide receiver. He was honorable mention all ACC, had 41 catches for 721 yards and 6 touchdowns. He led Pitt in receiving yards and TDs. Let's see. I don't really know a whole lot about him. And then also in the fifth round with a 175 pick, the Saints went with Jalen Ford, linebacker out of Texas. And he's a little bit, I mean, just looking at him, he's a little shorter than most, but I think it was a pretty solid pick. He was a four-year linebacker. He played in 49 games with 29 starts. He was named in 2022 as a third-team All-American by the AP, a first-team All-Big 12 in 22 and 23. He had four interceptions in 22, which was a season record for a linebacker. And he was also, in 2022, named the Defensive Player of the Year by Dave Campbell's Texas Football and earned academic All-Big 12 first team in 2021. I think that's a pretty solid pick. You know, there again, there's another place where there was some depth needed. Who did we lose this year? I can't even remember his name. I think he was from Wisconsin, linebacker. But it was definitely a need that needed it. It came from a place of need, and I think that's it's exciting. And then round six at the 199, Christian Boyd, who is a defensive tackle from Northern Iowa. Let's see, he's 6'2". He played all 11 games for Northern Iowa. Recorded 43 tackles, 6.5 tackles for a loss, and 3.5 sacks. He was named third-team Associated Press FCS All-American, as well as a first-team All-Missouri Valley Football Conference in 2023. In 2022, he was named second-team All-Missouri Valley Football Conference. And in his career, he had 149 tackles, total tackles, and 22.5 for a loss and 10.5 sacks. He's listed at 6'2", 320, so he's a good-sized guy. Be able to plug, you know, maybe be able to get in rotation on as a defensive tackle. I think it'll be great. And then also the Saints in round seven with the 239 picked Josiah Ezerim, offensive tackle from Eastern Kentucky. And let's see, he's 6'6", 320 pounds. He was named third-team AP FCS All-American, as well as a first-team All-United Athletic Conference after starting 11 games at right tackle. He played in all 12 games for the Colonels and was part of an offensive line that helped Eastern Kentucky rank third nationally in passing offense per game. So, you know, we'll see. You know, when you come out of this draft, if you get three guys out of this draft, which it looks like they should, who are going to play meaningful minutes for the Saints this year, I think you've done a pretty darn good job. And you've got some other guys that are going to be able to learn and develop. And I really am excited about it. I think that that Mel Kiper giving them a B from ESPN is kind of crazy, because anything else I've read, they at minimum A- on their draft. And a lot of it obviously is Fuaga and McKinstry and Spencer Rattler. But You know, we'll see how some of these depth pieces go. And, you know, they also, and you have to forgive me because I don't have his name in front of me, but they also got a tight end from Colorado State who actually had more, had better numbers than what Brock Bowers did from Georgia. So you never know. You never know. I think the knock on the kid that they drafted from Colorado State was that he was a little undersized for being a tight end. I think he's only like 6'2 or 6'3. But you never know. You never know how it all works out. There's been plenty of players that haven't been drafted that it turned into being hell of players in the NFL. So overall, I'm excited. I'm excited for training camp, even though it's not going to be here this summer. It'll be in California. I'm excited to see what we got, and I really believe that we'll have a better season this year than we did last year. I think that they did the right thing with getting a new offensive coordinator, and really you got to think about it like this too. How much road is left for Dennis Allen if they can't produce? You know, I don't know. This could be make or break for him. So there's a lot of motivation there too. So overall, though, I'm really excited. I think they did a great job, and really am looking forward to the upcoming season. I'm actually starting to get excited now. So can't wait for the NFL to start back up in the fall. All right, well, let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll wrap things up with another edition of Florida Man, and then we'll get on out of here. So don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Looking for the perfect personalized gift for your friends and loved ones? Then look no further than Crow and Crescent. Crow and Crescent provides customizable handmade gifts, tumbler cups, and much more. All items are handmade with care and can be gift wrapped with personalized messages. For more information, you can find us at crowandcrescent.com and on Instagram. Crow and Crescent, let us show you the right gift for any occasion.
I'm Jeff Cruer, the new president and general manager of WGSO Radio. I'm pleased to announce that our station has a new board and a new commitment to serving the people of the New Orleans area. We've been on the air 78 years. We are the true voice of the community. Our station is dedicated to free speech and fighting censorship. We have local hosts, local ownership, and a local focus. Our competitors are conglomerates. One is even owned by George Soros. But we want to help our community. That's why we offer programming on a wide variety of topics and will continue to do so. I want to personally thank Chris Berry for his leadership of the station for the last 17 years. We're going to build on that foundation and make WGSO an even better station, an even better community voice for the Crescent City. If you want to get involved, we'd love to have your help. Contact me at jeff@wgso.com.
Big Easy Pet Shop and Rescue is a nonprofit volunteer-run rescue. We provide adoption services and care for homeless animals across the New Orleans metro area. We also offer pet supplies and grooming services at our downtown and Marigny locations. The shops are located at 839 Spain Street and 513 Dumaine Street and are open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays and noon to 6 on Saturdays, noon to 5 on Sundays. We can be found on the web at BigEasyPetShop.com. Support local animals in need by shopping and adopting with Big Easy Animal Rescue.
back with more of the Something to Say. The last segment of the week, so you know we like to take that trip over to Florida and check in on those good folks and see what they've been up to. So without any further ado, here is this week's Florida Man.
Down to Florida, we welcome you to the Sunshine State. They're kicking back and soaking up the rays every day in Florida.
First story comes from FoxNews.com, and the headline is Florida Man Allegedly. A Florida man pasta with pasta sauce at another driver striking him with food through his open window after becoming friendly with headlights, according to officials. Nolan Goines, 46, was arrested and charged with simple battery and conduct. What they did there. Around 9 p.m. Thursday on a street near Bay Pines Boulevard in St. Petersburg, Florida, according to an arrest office. That's where about 60% of everything comes, all the Florida man stories come from. The road rage incident unfolded when Goines became enraged because of quote-unquote glaring headlights, according to the avid. Goines allegedly threw the pasta with sauce through his passenger window and hit a man who was driving in another vehicle. I got to say, that's a hell of a throw. To be able to be driving, throw it through the you're driving, throw it through the passenger side window and through the driver's side window of another car. The victim was not injured in the pasta attack, although he likely became covered in sleep. Deputies later found Goines with pasta stains on his right sleeve of his shirt. He was taken into custody but released Friday morning after posting a $1,000 bond. I don't know why you would think to do something like Florida, so there you go. All right, we got time for one more. So this comes from GolfLive.com, and the headline is Florida Man in Thefts Guys Himself. They say a good disguise is worth 1,000 alibis, but a bad one, not so much. On Wednesday, Glades County Sheriff's Office deputies were actively searching for a man they suspected of stealing a boat in the old Calusa Lodge area of Lakeport, Florida, when they noticed someone exiting a nearby home. Despite his donning a long blonde wig and a blue dress topped with a white sweater, the deputies immediately recognized it was the person that they were looking for, Joshua Kolotka, 33 years old. In a post to Facebook, the Glades County Sheriff's explained the sequence of events, writing, when the deputies began canvassing the area in search of the alleged suspect, they observed Joshua exiting a residence dressed as a woman in an attempt to disguise it. Deputies apprehended Kolotka, who had two outstanding Okeechobee. You got to be kidding me. That's the name of the county. Okeechobee County warrants and placed him under arrest for theft of a and John Deere utility vehicle. Officials said other items found at the scene were possibly stolen from the same vicinity. The Glades County Sheriff's Office is collaborating with the Seminole Police Department to identify some of the stolen items from other theft cases. Well, dressing up like a woman didn't help him any, so there you go. But I can't believe that's a county. Okeechobee. Oh, goodness. Well, gang, that is all the time we have for today. I also want a quick reminder before I get out of here. On Tuesday, May 7th, is Give NOLA Day, and you have the opportunity. You can check us out on all of our social media and find out more information on where you go to. I believe it's just Give NOLA Day or givenola.org/WGSO990AM. If you would like to donate, it certainly will be appreciated. And, of course, everything is tax deductible, so you can get all that information there. So, again, that website is givenola.org/WGSO990AM. And all donations are certainly appreciated and tax deductible. So, all right, that is all the time we have for this week. I'm going to run. We'll be back next week with more Thing to Say radio show. And until then, remember, if you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough. Talk to you soon.
If you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough. When you get knocked down, you got to get back up. I ain't the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I know enough to know. If you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough. I lit my brain with rot gut whiskey. till my pain was chicken fried. And I had dudes with badges frisk me, teach me how to swallow pride.